Hello everyone, hello. This year is dedicated L'ilui Nishmas, Rachaleya, Bas, Reb Tzvi. Okay, so we're working on the Chafetz Chaim's introduction to the Sefer Avos Chasid, so to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. We has the list of laws and mitzvos that a person violates if unfortunately they're involved with Lashon Hara. So we're up to Mitzvah Yud Beis. Mitzvah Yud Beis is of course the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and the Chafetz Chaim writes that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, he's being mevatel, he's violating the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What exactly is the idea? So let's read it inside. Mitzvah Yud Beis. Ve'al kulam, and on top of all the other ones, over bezeh hazman shel sipur Lashon Hara v'rechilus, al mitzvah sase shalim Torah, shemitzvah sase gemura. When a person is speaking Lashon Hara, they're violating the mitzvah sase of learning Torah. Kamosha meforesh b'Rambam, that it's a real mitzvah sase. Uvaseif mitzvahs, he writes it as well. Uvachomone mitzvahs, everyone lists this mitzvah as a mitzvah, as a real mitzvah, mitzvah deraisa. Ve'ein keitz l'schar mitzvahs asei zu, shishkul k'ned kol mitzvahs. There's no limit to the schar for this mitzvah. It's equal to all the other mitzvahs. There's a very important mitzvah of learning Torah. What's the idea? So he explains as follows. I'm skipping a few lines. Usharei zmanim, the other times when a person's not speaking Lashon Hara, lefamim yotze adam naki mizeh ha'avon midin shamayla. So you're not violating this mitzvah necessarily. Avur shatzik b'parnas aso, o mechashi v'ayonav eiza ofen hasiges michyaso. You're involved in parnasa, you're working on making a living, or something else like that. If a person is doing something productive, constructive, something he needs to do, okay, so he has no chiyuv to be learning Torah at that moment. But if a person is doing something destructive, well, why aren't you learning? What's your excuse for not being learning Torah during the moments that you're speaking Lashon Hara? So the Chafetz Chaim here is saying that there's a mitzvah for a man, by the way, clearly this mitzvah that he's referring to here applies to men, not to women. Women don't have this overriding, constant obligation to be involved in learning Torah. Women should spend their time well. And speaking Lashon Hara is not a good way to spend one's time. But it's not this particular mitzvah saseh of Talmud Torah. So this particular mitzvah applies to men and not to women. But the Chafetz Chaim here is saying that if a person is doing something constructive, fine. So it's something he's supposed to be doing, he's allowed to be doing. So that's not Bittul Torah, because he has to be doing that. A person sleeps, a person eats, a person's working on his parnasa. We'll discuss in a few minutes. People need to relax a little bit. That's a very important part, just to be maintain a healthy, productive personality. But if a person is doing something destructive, you're speaking Lashon Hara, so why are you learning Torah then? You're speaking Lashon Hara? So the Chafetz Chaim says that when you're speaking Lashon Hara, you're violating the mitzvah saseh of Talmud Torah. Aval, the Chafetz Chaim continues, Be'esh shemesaper Lashon Hara v'chilus, ma toelis yagilo parnasasel mizeh. How is that going to help your parnasa? What possible productivity are you getting out of speaking Lashon Hara? The answer is none. So therefore, you're violating the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes. Oh. Then he goes on. And he says, you know, sometimes you have people, they say, you know, I'm not such a big lamdin. It's hard for me. That means I'm not such a learned person. I don't have such great skills in learning. So it's hard for me to learn so much. Maybe that person is different. He says, no. There are different things a person can learn. You don't have to only learn Gemara in depth. You can learn other things. And the Chafetz Chaim gives a list. And in our generation, once we have Art Scroll and the other fabulous translations and explanations in English and different languages, so in our generation, a person who wants to learn, there's plenty of things a person's able to learn, even if at this moment they're not the greatest lamdan yet, they're not the most learned person yet. Let's see it inside. The Chafetz Chaim writes, Ki be'ez ha'ofen sheyachol l'kayim mitzvah sasei de Torah. In any way he can fulfill this mitzvah of learning Torah, he should do it. Im hu lamdin gadol, if you're a big lamdin, that means you're very learned, you have very good skills. Lifi limudo, according to his level, he should learn Torah. V'af im hu ish, she'eino lamdin. Let's say you're not such a learned person yet. You're not such a deep, advanced learning Torah person yet. Gam hu yachol lilmod sifrei kodesh, you can learn the Kadosh Svarim, ha matokim, that are copied, Lashon Ashkenaz bizmanenu, that were translated into Yiddish in those days, or nowadays in English. And nowadays, Ikhwan Kol Torah Kula, with translations. Then he gives examples. Kagon, in his day, Chovas HaLevavos, Umanoras HaMor, V'chilot Sebezeh. These are Sfarim of Hashkafa and Musar. Okay, in the Chavetz Chaim's day, apparently they hadn't translated the Gemara into Yiddish yet, I guess. But a person could learn those as well. HaMachnisim B'Levav HaAdam, these books bring into a person's heart. Yiras HaShakadosh Baruch Hu, Yiras Hashem. V'lo Leishev Batal Min HaTorah. And you don't have to sit Batal, meaning not involved in learning Torah. U'lisaper Lashon Hara V'Rechivus, and speaking Lashon Hara V'Rechivus. So the Chavetz Chaim says a person should be using any spare time he has to be that he's not doing something else productive to be learning. But I'm not the biggest lamed in it. I'm not so learned in it. Okay, so learn something else. Learn something lighter that's not as heavy and in depth, and or learn things in translation. So a person should be learning. And so when a person's involved in his parnasa, in doing things he has to be doing, so he's better, he doesn't have to be learning at that moment. But when a person is doing something destructive, you're speaking Lashon Hara. What's your excuse for not learning Torah then? So you're violating this mitzvah say of Talmud Torah? Then the Chafetz Chaim quotes the famous Vort of the Gra. This Vort of the Gra is very powerful. And this Vort of the Gra is not close to what the Chafetz Chaim is saying here. It is exactly what the Chafetz Chaim is saying here. This Vort from the Gra in Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah writes that Lasi Lava, when a person comes before Hashem, he's going to have to give in front of Hashem, up in Shemayim, a din v'cheshbon. That's the language of the Mishnah. Din v'cheshbon. Din means judgment. Cheshbon, what does cheshbon mean? Cheshbon has different possible meanings. The word cheshbon in modern Hebrew means mathematics. If you take math in Israel in a class, it's called cheshbon. Roei cheshbon, a person who is an accountant. Cheshbon means mathematics, numbers. So what does this mean exactly? In front of Hashem, you're going to give a din, that's a judgment, and a cheshbon. I guess one translation might be an accounting of one's deeds. What exactly does that mean? What exactly are you adding up? What exactly is the cheshbon here? So the Gra says the following idea. The Gra says that up in Shemayim, when a person will face a din, if a person does averes achmanu letzlan, he'll be judged for the averes, that's din. And then there's going to be a calculation. During the time that you were involved in doing this Aveira, that took time. When a person's involved in Aveira, there's time there. So now we're going to calculate all the positive things that one could have been doing during that time when he was involved in an Aveira. That's a cheshbon, that's an accounting, that's mathematics, adding it up, figuring it out. How much here, how much time here, how much time there? How much time would this mitzvah have taken to perform? How many mitzvahs? That's what the Gra says. Let's read it inside. The Chafetz Chaim quotes it. V'chein ra'isi kosu b'shem ha-Gra. Shepiresh mahu din u mahu cheshbon. What's din and what's cheshbon? U'pireish, the Gra explained, din hainu alaveira atzma, the actual aveira. V'cheshbon hainu shemechashvin imo be'eis hadin al hazman she'avar aveira shehayayachol the kayin mitzvah. The time when a person was involved in the Aveira, that he could have been doing a mitzvah then, what could he have been doing with his time? That's exactly what the Chafetz Chaim is saying here. That when a person is involved in speaking Lashon Hara, there's going to be a cheshbon. You could have been learning then. And the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the Chafetz Chaim here is assuming, is overarching, it's overriding. And therefore, every moment a person is speaking Lashon Hara, which is very, very destructive, then they're violating this mitzvah saseh of Talmud Torah. And the Chafetz Chaim goes on to quote more ideas from the Gra. He says as follows, what's a person going to answer? He writes, Be'emes, this is famous from the Gra, Bechol teva v'teva shalim v'torah humekayim mitzvah mipnei atzma. Every word is a separate mitzvah. Every word of Torah is a mitzvah. V'im lo made perek mishnayis, you want a perek of mishnayis, odaf gemara, humekayim kama meos mitzvos, hundreds of mitzvos, kamo shekosav ha-Gra b'shno sel yo, over there in Perek Aleph of Peah, in the name of the Yerushalmi. The Talmud Torah Ein Lashir, the Gra explains, one shot is, even one word, there's no minimum. One word is a mitzvah deraisa of Torah. So as we've been discussing over and over again, the Chafetz Chaim likes to add up the numbers, add up the mitzvah, so he says it here briefly, hundreds of mitzvahs that a person could have been doing, every word of Torah is a mitzvah. So the Chafetz Chaim here is presenting that for men, if a man speaks Lashon Hara, at that moment, He is involved in violating the mitzvah saseh of Talmud Torah, and that's another positive mitzvah that one violates when they're involved in Lashon Hara. That is mitzvah Yud Beis. I wanted to spend a few minutes here to discuss how this mitzvah applies. It applies to men, and how the idea applies to women, even though, as I mentioned before, women are patur from this particular mitzvah of learning Torah all the time. But the idea certainly applies in how to have a appropriate, proper Torah home, and especially, you know, what a standard evening at home can be like. So again, the Chafetz Chaim says, when a person is doing something productive that he needs to be doing, so then he's not involved in Bittul Torah. So eating is involved in that. Spending time with one's family, very important, very productive. Spending time with one's wife, very important as well. So therefore, I think, if you want to just, you know, paint a nice picture of a very pleasant, positive Torah home, a man gets home from work, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whenever it is, and then he's going to eat dinner. That's one thing, okay? And then if he should spend time with his children, Bezat Hashem, spend time with it, very important, spend time with one's children. And Rav Orlik talks about it in his books over and over again, all over the place, the idea of spending time with one's children, interacting. There was recently a symposium or some event on education in Chinuch that was done in America, and one of the speakers there was Dr. Pelkowitz. Dr. Pelkowitz is a chashuva psychologist who helps a lot with teens and different issues in the States, and he gave a lecture, and he spoke about something fascinating. It's unfortunate. In the modern world, because of cell phones, people are spending much less time talking to their kids. They did studies. The amount of time that a person spends actually just interacting and talking with his children is much less. Because the time that a child is home and the parents are home, they're both on their own cell phones. He said, shut off the cell phone. That's what he said in his lecture. Shut off the cell phone when you're home. Spend more time with your kids. It's very good advice. It's a fascinating idea. Think about it. How much time in the modern world, people are in a rush, running around, kids in and out, and so many things, and people have extracurricular activities. How much time do we spend talking, interacting with our children? And if the cell phone is making it much less, turn off the cell phone at home. Okay. So, he's going to eat dinner. He's going to spend time with his children. And he needs to relax. Most people need to relax. It helps you recharge your batteries. Dr. Chorsky, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Chorsky, has in his books on relaxing and finding a way for yourself to, you know, relax and recharge your batteries, to have that as part of your normal day. And for most people, they need a little bit of downtime. A little bit of downtime. It helps them make it through their day in a productive way and stay full of simcha and simchas hachaim. Fourth, you spend time, Bezat Hashem, with your wife. I'm talking to the men here. And that's a fourth part of a person's ordinary evening at home. Very important. In a healthy marriage, 3 and 4 go together. That relaxing, spending time with your wife goes together. After that, these are all productive things. At that point, a man's supposed to spend time learning. A person is supposed to have a Seder and spend time learning. That's what he's supposed to do. He's worked for his parnasa. He's done what he needs to do. He spent time with his family the way he's supposed to. And now he should be involved in learning. It's very important. This is what many rabbanim talk about. And something that this is what the Chafetz Chaim is getting at here. That once a person has done what he needs to be doing, and he's done and all those important things, then he should spend time learning. Very important. And that's talking to the men. And from the woman's perspective, from the wife's perspective, she also plays a role. Because one of her jobs is, after husband does these four things, should be encouraging him to spend time learning as well. This is one of their roles. This is actually in the Eish Hischayil. The Nun Pasuk of Eish Hischayil. I'll tell you a vort here and a little story. The Nun Pasuk of Eish Hischayil. It says, Noda basharim baila b'shifto im zikne arbetz. Her husband is known in the gates of the city where he sits with the elders of the land. The gates of the city, the Sfarim say, is where the Beis Din sat. That's where the yeshiva was. And that's where the Talmid Chachamim were. So he's known over there that the Eish Hischayil's husband is known in the gates of the city. He sits with the Zikne Yaretz. All right. So what does that pasuk mean? How is that a part of the praise for the Eish Hischayil? So I'll just tell you what applies to our class here, then we'll discuss the story, which is a humorous story, on the side. So for here, the Ralbag says, there's a Perush Ralbag on Chumash on Tanakh. The Ralbag there is quoted in the standard Mikros Gedolos. The Ralbag says that the reason why the Navi, Shlomo HaMelech, is praising the Eish HaSchayil, that her husband is known at the gates of the city, is, the Ralbag writes, that it's her job to keep him on the straight path, liyasher. He uses the word yeshar, the straight path, to be linked up with his learning. One of the roles that a woman plays is to keep her husband linked up with his learning. He's had a long day and so many things he's involved in. It's so easy to be always involved in one's work and one's business. You have to take a break. You have to know it's time to be learning now. And one of the roles, and this is how this would apply to women. One way this would apply to women, this mitzvah Yud Beis, to encourage your husband to spend time learning at night. That's the Ralbag on Eish HaSchayil, that she keeps him straight on the straight path to be focused on learning, so that he can be known with the Talmid Chachamim in the gates of the city. So that's mitzvah Yud Beis, and that's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and that's a nice, solid picture of what a Torah home looks like in the evening, from the husband's side, and from the wife's side as well. We'll get back to that more in a few minutes, Bezat Hashem, just as an aside, on the Nun Pasach. So what is that pasuk talking about? What's it talking about? So the Rabbah has one pshat, the Malbim has another pshat, but it's what's the pasuk pshat? It's very interesting. So if you think about it, in context, what are those psukim speaking about? The Mem pasuk, the Samach pasuk, what are they talking about? Let's say the Mem pasuk, Marvadi Masa Sola, or the Samach pasuk, Sadan Asav Atimkor. What are these talking about? One word. Clothing, correct. Pashup shat, the Lamed, Mem, and Samach Psukim in Eish HaSchayil are talking about clothing. So the standard Mefarshim say, Rashi and Mitzuras David both say that Pashup shat, the Nun Pasuk of Eish HaSchayil is talking about that the woman's husband is known in the gates of the city because she makes sure he's dressed properly. He wears good clothing, and he's dressed appropriately. So her husband is known in the gates of the city by the way he dresses. Very fascinating thing. That's what it says. Apparently, even back then, women had a better fashion sense than men. And that's what they say. And that's Pashup Shat, because in the context, Lamed is about clothing, Mem is about clothing, Samach is about clothing. So therefore, Rashi and Masuda say, Nun's about clothing as well. So I'll tell you a story. Years ago, I taught in high school in the States, in a girls' school. And one day I came to class, and I noticed that I got some funny looks in class. All right. Then I got home that night, and I noticed that by mistake, that day, when I was rushing out, I had taken pants and a suit jacket that didn't exactly match. They weren't totally in different universes, but they didn't exactly match. They weren't from the same suit. So apparently the girls gave me these funny looks because I was wearing a pant that didn't match. Oh, so the next day I came back to class and I said as follows. I told this whole Dvar Torah with the Nun Pasuk of Eish HaSchayil and the Ralbag and the Malbim and the Rashi and Mitzvot Dabur. And I said, my wife is very good at the Nun Pasuk of Eish HaSchayil. See, normally, this is the way our schedule worked, I would leave for work before she left. So therefore, when I left, she double-checked to make sure that I was dressed appropriately, partially because of the Nun Pasuk of Eish HaSchayil. That day, it happened to be, Hashkacha, she left first. So when I ran out of the house, I ran out afterwards. So therefore, she didn't double check whether I was matching fully. And that's how it ended up. So I wanted to make sure that the girls didn't think that it was my wife's fault, but it was mine. So I made a mistake like that. Anyway, so they understood, and it was a whole Dvar Torah. Okay, very good. So that's the Nun Pasuk of Eish HaSchayil, and that's the Ralbag, and that's this mitzvah of mitzvah Yud Beis. Oh. This, of course, is a very important mitzvah, very, very important mitzvah. And just a few comments about this mitzvah of Talmud Torah that I've heard from different rabbanim. First of all, once there's a chashev rab here in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rav Yaakov Katz Shlita. He's a Rosh Kolel, Talmud of the Chazon Ish. And once I was at his house with a group of Talmidim for a Malava Malka, and somebody asked him, Rebbe, how would you teach your children to have Ahavas HaTorah? You want to transfer that, they're involved in learning, connection with learning Torah. So if Kat said, the best way to teach Ahavas Torah is by example. That your kids have to see, your kids have to see that you're learning Torah at home. That when you have some spare time, you open up a Sefer. Very important. You can talk and talk. If they don't see you learning when you have your spare time, it's not going to go in the same way. Very important idea. Very important idea that he mentioned there. This idea that the children see that you're involved in Limud Torah at home. Similarly, you know, if a man goes out for a shiur, it depends. In some situations, learning out of the house is more productive. So then his wife should, you know, say, yeah, I was going to a shiur now, and it should be known. But there should be time in the house, he said, that the children see that you're involved in learning. I once heard a very similar comment from Rav Yaakov Neuberger, Shlita. He's a Rav in Bergenfield and Rebbe in NYU. He made a comment about that it's important for children to see his language. I felt the phrase he had was a very a good phrase. Is a better word than good? Okay, a good phrase, a phrase that captures the point. He said that children should see that their father is stealing moments. I think it's a very good phrase. Stealing moments. You have time here, time there. They see that when you have time, you set aside the time for learning Torah. Very, very important. And that's what Rav Neuberger said. In the modern world nowadays, with MP3s, with iPods, you know, you can do this. And you can show, A, you're supposed to be using your time well, and B, you're showing that when you're involved in other things, if you're able to be using your time productively as well, instead of stealing moments, these times, maybe we don't really expect to be learning, but you know, I was in line, and I saw a Rav, and he had a little small chumash with him when he was waiting in line, he was shopping for his family, waiting in line to pay for the groceries, he had a small chumash with him. And I thought that was a very good idea, to use these time as well. In the modern world, with MP3s and iPods, to when you go shopping, how about an MP3 player to listen to something, maybe listen to a shiur from Nahle, why not? That's a good idea. It's a very good idea. So this is one angle that children should see, that this idea of stealing moments and the Avas Torah of the father is the best way by example to teach the children as well. Oh. Just once around the topic, because one more point that Rav Neuberger mentioned a few times during this first unit of classes, we're in the introduction of the Chafetz Chaim, this first unit of classes we've been discussing how Lashon Hara will change your whole life. If a person is careful with Lashon Hara, he'll be a more positive person, more Simchas Achayim, etc. And more Simchas Achayim means more Shalom Bayis. You know, the Rav Orlug always says that the two main components of healthy Shalom Bayis in a home are the Simchas Achayim of each spouse and their midos, their character. Simchas Achayim is very important. So Rav Neuberger once made a comment about Simchas Achayim and Limud Torah, and it's a fabulous, very important comment. And he said as follows. He said that when a young man is into learning and he enjoys learning, it can very often be helpful in more simcha and more shalom bayis at home. How? It's as follows. When a man is into learning and he goes to a shiur or he works on a hard marsha, very often he gets a geschmack. It feels good. Imamish feels good. It feels good emotionally, intellectually. It feels good. And he said, and it's Mamish Emes, he said, if a person is, let's say, you had a difficult day, ups and downs, you're on a down, you had a rough day today at the office, it's a rough day. You go to a shiur, and the shiur, here's what he said, a person who's learning has a constantly renewable source of simcha. A person who enjoys learning Torah has a constantly renewable source of simcha in his life. He had a rough day at the office, but he likes the shiur. He goes to it. He goes to the shiur and he brings it. And Neuberger told, he tells us, Talmidim, if you go to a great shiur, take it home with you. Take home the good feeling. If you had a rough day at the office, you go to a shiur and you love the shiur. So bring that simcha home with you. And when you come home, you're a different person. It's an amazing idea. And smadish true. When a person enjoys learning, even if he's having a rough day, he works on a hard marsha and he figures it out. He works on a difficult tosfos. He goes to a daf yomi shir, and the rav in the daf yomi shir is just a wonderful magid shir. And mamash gives him chiyus. So a person, this is the point here, a person can use limud Torah to help in his Simchas HaChaim and the Shalom Bayis in his home, and he should think about, I'm going to use my Limud Torah to bring it back with me. If the shiur excites me, I'm in a better mood, take that good mood home with me, and that could be my pick-me-up to have more Simchas HaChaim and more Shalom Bayis in the home. These are just some additional comments about Mitzvah Yud Beis. Very important mitzvah. Very important mitzvah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And again, the Chafetz Chaim says, you speak Lashon Hara, you violate this mitzvah, because a man should be using all his spare time for extra learning. We discussed that when you're doing things that are productive, so then you're not chayv to be learning Torah at that moment. We described the sort of order, a very productive, positive Torah home evening, how it applies to the husband and to the wife, and some additional ideas of how Talmud Torah links up together with Simchas HaChaim and with Shalom Bayis. I felt it was a very deep insight that Neuberger had, how one can and should use his enjoying of Talmud Torah to help the Shalom Bayis and Simchas HaChaim in the home. Okay, that is Mitzvah Yud Beis. Next, let's continue. Mitzvah Yud Gimel. Mitzvah Yud Gimel is the mitzvah to tell the truth and not to lie. Here's what the Chafetz Chaim says. Let's read it inside. Mitzvah Yud Gimel. V'chol zeh shedibarnu ad atzeh u'afili misaper dever emes al chaveru. Everything we said until now is even if you've been telling the truth about your friend. Speaking the truth, okay? Lashon hara is also even if it's true. Avalim b'toch ha'lashon hara. If in the middle of your Lashon Hara there's a little sheker thrown in, and we discussed earlier that very often when one speaks Lashon Hara, the other person's not around, it's very easy to allow some sheker to sink in, right? We discussed, that's why back in Lav, I think it's Lav Beis, Lotisa Shem Hashav, when the Torah gives a lav about speaking Lashon Hara, it uses a word that also means false. Why? So the Chafetz Chaim said there in the footnote we discussed a while ago, that since the other party's not there, often when you speak Lashon Hara, it's so easy to slip into a little sheker, a little motzi shemra. And it's a shame, but it's true. I mean, that's true, not sheker. That's unfortunately true. So the Chafetz Chaim is saying, if when you speak the Lashon Hara, you sink into a little bit of sheker as well, you're also violating a mitzvah saseh. Over gamkein, al mitzvah saseh shekasuf b'torah, midvar sheker tirchach. You're not supposed to lie. Stay far away from sheker. Well, and then it becomes motzi shemer as well, v'yansho chamur, and it's a more severe aveira. The Chafetz Chaim quotes here in the footnote that it's a mamash, a real mitzvah saseh. He quotes here, he mitzvah saseh in footnote Yud Gimel. He mitzvah saseh gemura, l'das hasmag. The smag says it's a mamash to mitzvah saseh. V'al kopanim iser deraisu l'chol adeus. And it's at least usher to lie. It's usher to lie, and there's a special mitzvah to tell the truth. So if a person speaks Lashon Hara with a little hotzah shemra, with a little bit of a lie, he's also violating mitzvah Yud Gimel. Of it's us or not to tell the truth. Yeah, there's a mitzvah to tell the truth. Okay, now, a couple of comments about this point. Number one, and this is very interesting. I mentioned a few times the Sefer Nesivos Chaim. The Sefer Nesivos Chaim was written a few years ago, I think around 10, 15 years ago, by Rav Kaufman Shlita from Bnei Brak. It's a fabulous Sefer on the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. He attacks is the word for, he goes and learns in depth and studies in depth and works on every line of the Chafetz Chaim. So here, he points out, and you'll see why this is very interesting, he points out as follows. Certainly, one's not supposed to lie. And lying is wrong. It's a bad midah. You're not supposed to lie. But, is lying actually violating a specific mitzvah d'oraisa? Here the Chafetz Chaim says it is. He points out here in a long footnote that not everyone agrees. I have it here in the source sheets. It's footnote Tes Zayin. This is called the Shvilei Chaim. The way he wrote a Sefer on the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, he has several commentaries. Each one plays a different role. And this one's called the Shvilei Chaim. And he writes the following idea. He says, where do you see that it's an iser d'oraisa to lie, and it's a mitzvah to tell the truth, a mitzvah d'oraisa? First he says, Normally, a pasuk literally, unless Chazal tell us to not take a pasuk literally, we accept the literal meaning of a pasuk. So it's the literal pasuk sounds like there's a real mitzvah to tell the truth, and it's asur to lie. Okay, that's one possible source that it's a real mitzvah. Okay, the ode he quotes in the sugya in Ksuvas Daf Yud Zayin. He quotes here in the Shita Mekubetzes in the name of the Rima Gash. There's a real love in the Torah that it's asur to lie. Okay, another good source. And the Chinuch, now this is interesting. He quotes the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is the classic source for giving, listing the mitzvos and averos in the Torah, the Tayag mitzvos and averos. So the Chinuch doesn't mention as a separate mitzvah or lav not to lie. However, he says as follows. The mitzvah ayin dalad, this is the Shvi L'chaim speaking. Even though the Sefer HaChinuch doesn't list avoiding to lie as a separate independent mitzvah, however, Mikol Makom Bier, he explained, She'ikra shel mitzvah de lotis Hashem Hashav, the essence of the mitzvah of lotis Hashem Hashav, to not use Hashem's name falsely or in vain, who lihisrachek midivrei sheker, to avoid sheker. I'm sorry, lotis Hashem Hashav, to not spread a false report. The ikra of lotis Hashem Hashav is to be far away from sheker. Uvetocht varav, and in the middle of the chinuch discussing lotis Hashem Hashav, he writes as follows. He's he ratanu hator leharchik min hasheker kemo shekasuv midvar sheker tirchak. So the chinuch quotes the pasuk of midvar sheker tirchak in his discussion of the importance of avoiding to telling a lie. But v'nezkira lashon richol kerov miyuso, it's miyus, it's disgusting, you're not supposed to lie, etc. We shouldn't listen to anything which might be sheker. That's another source. Although it isn't a separate lav, a separate mitzvah, but it's he writes, it's included, he writes, and he quotes the pasuk, so the chinuch apparently holds it's a real mitzvah. Okay, these are strong sources. However, and you'll see where this is going, this is fascinating. Now again, everyone agrees you're not supposed to lie, and lying is wrong. But we're trying to figure out, is it mamish a real mitzvah saseh de araisa, and it belongs on this list or not? So now, he quotes here the Shvi Lechayim as follows. However, others sound not so. Rabbeinu Yonah, he writes, sounds like there is no specific mitzvah saseh de araisa to avoid lying. Why? Shari herich b'shari tshuva, b'kat ha-shakranim. The Rabbeinu Yonah talks about how bad it is to be a liar. Vehevi harbei psukim mitivrei kabbalah. He brought many psukim from Nach, but he didn't quote this pasuk. Why not? Vehevi klal pasuk demidvar sheker tirchak. He didn't quote our pasuk. Rabbeinu Yonah is explaining you're not supposed to lie. It's usur to lie. It's wrong to lie. It's terrible. He doesn't quote our pasuk. Apparently, he holds that our pasuk isn't a full-fledged mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. Rather, it's an important mitzvah that one's supposed to have. Muchach shesfiru leisha ein al sheker shtam shum ashar midaraisa. It's not mamash a real lav. So you have others that sound like, although it's usur. Again, I want to be clear here. No one here is soft on lying. Lying is terrible. But we're having a list here, a list of mitzvahs asei deraisa. Does it belong on the list? And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, apparently it doesn't belong on the list because there's no specific mitzvah asei deraisa. He quotes Pesukim from Kabbalah. Now, why is this discussion so fascinating? Because the Shvi Lechayim quotes that the Chafetz Chaim himself sounds like lying is not a specific mitzvah seder arisa and alav. Rather, it's just something, a very bad mitzvah that one should avoid. Where do we find that in the Chafetz Chaim? We find it in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim Sefer on the Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim. There are four parts of the Shulchan Aruch, Orach Chaim, Yeridah, Chosh Mishpat Eben Ezer, and the Chavetz Chaim himself, the person who wrote the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, wrote a parish on the Mishnah on the Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim, six volumes. It's universally used. Everyone uses the Sefer, one of the most important works. It's the most important work for us for sure on the Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim. Everyone uses the Mishnah Berurah, same person. He wrote it around 30, 40 years later than he wrote the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Okay. Now, Siman Kuf Nun Vav is where the poskim quote any halacha that for some reason didn't get exactly into the Sefer Chafetz, into the Shulchan Aruch, they quote it there. The Shulchan Aruch says all the laws of getting up in the morning and davening, everything you do in the morning, then you should learn after davening, then like you know, they're sort of the rest of your day. So in that siman, that very broad general siman, the Magen Avraham and the Chafetz Chaim following Magen Avraham gives a list of halachos that somehow didn't make it specifically, explicitly into the Shulchan Aruch anywhere. So there's a fascinating list of a whole variety of topics. So the Chafetz Chaim there is talking about different bad mitos a person should avoid. And the Chafetz Chaim says as follows. I'm reading from the Mishnah Berurah now. It's also in your source sheet. It's underlined. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Yizar Meleitzanus, avoid being a scoffer. V'chanifus, we discussed false flattery. V'chein yirchak misheker, betachlis harichuk. And be very far from sheker. Now, so Rav Kaufman writes it in the Sivas Chaim, Lo mana sheker b'mitzvos aseh, rak ben amidos tovos. The Chafetz Chaim, when he's giving a list, he puts sheker in the list of bad midos, as opposed to the list of mitzvos that are found there that aren't mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. So if Kaufman points out that it seems to him that in the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim suddenly didn't focus on sheker as mamish, a real lav, and a real mitzvah saseh, and therefore it wouldn't be on this list. And he used a strong language. His language is, Rabbeinu Atzmo, mashma shechazar bo. It sounds like the word chazar, when it's used in this context, in rabbinic terminology, chazar means changed his mind. So Rav Kaufman is claiming, and this is fascinating, that although, again, lying is bad, you're not supposed to lie, it's usur to lie, but whether that's a real Isser de Araisa or not, some Rishonim say it is, some sound like it's not, and Rav Kaufman claims, and Asivas Chaim claims, that the Chafetz Chaim appears to have changed his mind from the time he wrote the Sefer Chafetz Chaim to when he wrote the Mishnah Berurah. So whether you're violating this particular mitzvah say de Araisa would be a question. You can't do it anyway. You're violating at least the Nisra de Rabbanan from the Nevi'im, but whether it's Mamash or Rio Lav is an interesting discussion, fascinating discussion, and that's Rav Kaufman himself concludes, just to make sure that we understand what he's saying. Amnam, af l'deo she'en ka mitzvah saseh, even if it's not a real mitzvah saseh, but still, ein bazeh miut l'chashivus midas emes. We're not in any way lessening the importance of emes. It's a midah tova that the Torah didn't write. That's the foundation for everything. A lot of the midos of the Torah, they're the foundation for everything else. Being a truthful person is the essence of everything else. It doesn't have to be mitzvah. It's the essence of everything else, the midos tovos. But still, he quotes the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, al shlosh dvarim ha'olam o mechayam, al adin, al ha'emes, ve'al ha'shalom. And he quotes other makaros about the importance of emes. So of course, we're not saying it's okay to lie, but is one technically in violation of this particular mitzvah? The answer is maybe not. The answer is maybe not, Rav Kaufman is saying, because the Chafetz Chaim in other places sounds like it's just a very important mitzvah as opposed to a real, full-fledged mitzvah aseh d'araisa. Okay, now. So it's usur to lie, either mitzvah d'araisa or mitzvah kabbalah. However, there's something very important in Hilchos Lashon Hara, and it's in the Chafetz Chaim, it's quoted by all the poskim from Hilchos Rechilus, and that is as follows. What if someone is in a situation where you have a choice between speaking Lashon Hara and lying? You're stuck. The Chafetz Chaim paskins black on white that you're allowed to lie in that case to avoid Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim is specifically discussing Rechilus and not Lashon Hara. He doesn't mention this by Lashon Hara. I'm not sure why. I wrote to a few poskim about this, and they all wrote back with different explanations, maybe why, but all agreed that certainly what the Chafetz Chaim writes in Hilchos Rechilus applies in Hilchos Lashon Hara as well. Why the Chafetz Chaim left it for there, I don't know exactly, but let's see it inside. This is very, and this is Lamaisa. I'll give examples. This is Mamash Lamaisa, unfortunately. In Hilchos Rechilus, in Klal Aleph, halacha ches. Hilchos Achilus, Klal Aleph, halacha ches. The Chafetz Chaim writes as follows. Steve Ches. What if somebody says to you, what did so-and-so say about me? Uli'inyan, ma lo hashiv, im sholo, ma diber poni odosai. What did so-and-so say about me? Hilchos Achilus, in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, there are two parts. Hilchos Lashon Hara, Hilchos Rechilos. We will be learning Mezuz Hashem, Hilchos Lashon Hara. And there's a lot of overlap between the two. This is Hilchos Rechilos, after Hilchos Lashon Hara. Talui Bazeh. Im Yesh Lo Eitza, if you have a way, Lo Hashivo, to respond, Be'ofen Shelo Yesh Sheker Gamur, V'gamu Yer Rechilos. Let's say you can walk the tightrope and not tell a lie totally, and also avoid Rechilos. Yeshivei of Ofenzeh. You should answer that way. And don't let a lie come out of your mouth. If you understand, he won't accept the answer. If you give an answer like that, he's going to say, what, what? He's not going to accept your answer. The Chafetz Chaim writes, Mutter lomar sheker gamur b'pnei ha-shalom. One is allowed to lie for the shalom. I.e., you can lie to avoid speaking Rechilus, and the poskim say this means you can lie to avoid speaking Lashon Hara. And this comes up in real life. Let's say Reuven has a friend, Shimon. All right. And Shimon is in Israel for the year. Shimon is not doing well. He's not doing well in the Rosh Hashanah. Something's happening. He's doing very poorly. Okay. Along comes Levi and says to Reuven, how's Shimon doing? Now, so Levi is an acquaintance of Shimon. He knows him. So Reuven should answer, Baruch Hashem is doing okay. He's doing fine, Baruch Hashem. Reuven shouldn't tell Levi, oh my gosh, let me tell you what happened. Shimon's doing this and that, all these bad things. Why in the world should Reuven tell Levi how bad Shimon's doing? Levi asked him a question, how's he doing? He meant, how's he doing religiously? How's he doing religiously? Is he doing okay religiously? So Reuven is allowed to lie and say Baruch Hashem is doing okay, even if he's not doing okay. Why in the world should Reuven share this negative information with Levi, who's an acquaintance of Shimon, about how bad Shimon's doing? That's exactly this case that happens in real life. Someone says, how's so-and-so doing? And they meant like in a religious sense, and if they're doing poorly, and you don't have to say that. So you're allowed to lie. Now, if the person asking, let's say Levi was Shimon's Rebbe, who might have influence on him, or Levi was a close friend of Shimon, and Reuven thinks that Levi can help Shimon deal with whatever problem he's facing. Okay, so we will be discussing Bezuz Hashem in the next unit, in the next section, as we continue, Lashon Hara Toeles, and what you're allowed to say, and how, and to ask him for advice, that we'll get to. But stop, an acquaintance, you don't stop, tell someone how bad someone's doing. That's very lemaisa, that one is allowed to lie to avoid Lashon Hara. Now, just because you're allowed to, doesn't mean you're supposed to do this. You have to know how to apply this exactly. Because sometimes if you lie, then you're caught in the lie. Then people get angry at you. And so lemaisa, you have to work out exactly how to deal with this in a practical sense. But whether the fact that it's mutter to lie is correct, and you have to know how to do it exactly, to not cause more problems. If a person lies and he gets caught, then it's worse off. So the Chafetz Chaim here again is saying that it's mutter to lie to avoid Rechilus, it's mutter to lie to avoid Lashon Hara as well, and that is very lemaisa, the example that I gave, Levi asking Reuven how Shimon's doing, and he's not supposed to say all these bad things, because why is Reuven speaking Lashon Hara to Levi about Shimon? So this is Mitzvah Yud Gimel as well. So today we discuss these two mitzvahs, Mitzvah Yud Beis and Mitzvah Yud Gimel, regarding Lashon Hara, that if a person speaks Lashon Hara, again, during that time, they're not doing anything productive. A man's supposed to be learning Torah in his spare time. The basics he's supposed to be doing, we discussed the basics. You eat, you sleep, you spend time with your family, turn off the cell phone at home, and you spend time with your wife, and you relax a little bit, then a man's supposed to be learning. If you're doing something totally unproductive, totally counterproductive, like speaking destructive, speaking Lashon Hara. You're violating the mitzvah to say of Talmud Torah, the Chafetz Chaim, right? And he quotes the Gra, the very potent Gra. There's Din and there's Cheshbon. Din is the Aveira itself. Cheshbon is the mathematics, the accounting, what a person could have been doing with his time instead of the Aveira he was doing. That's also in the Din, that a person will the accounting one is supposed to be giving. And every moment is a mitzvah, and we discussed every word of Torah is a mitzvah, and we discussed how Lima Torah can affect with simchas hachaim, moshav, and bias. And the second mitzvah, mitzvah Yud Gimel, is the mitzvah not to lie, to avoid lying. The Chafetz Chaim here assumes it's a real mitzvah say deraisa, and Lashon Hara very often includes Hotzah Shemra. Very often, the person's not there, you add in a phrase or two to make it a little worse, unfortunately. And that's true that people do that, unfortunately. And that's a lie, and that's usur, and that's another aveira someone's doing when they speak Lashon Hara. And we discussed how technically whether that belongs on the list depends on whether we view speaking the truth and not to lie as a full-fledged mitzvah say deraisa, like Sar Mishonim assume, or whether it's a very important midah, it's the foundation of everything else, but it's not officially on the list. And again, what's fascinating is that the Chafetz Chaim himself seems to not put it on the list later on in Siman Kuf Nun Vav. And finally, we discussed that although one should not lie in general, certainly one is allowed to lie to avoid Lashon Hara. As the Chafetz Chaim himself writes, this makes a lot of sense. You can lie for Shalom, and you certainly can lie to avoid this many lavs of Lashon Hara. Okay, that's what we did for today, and we'll stop here.